Grace is yours and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The Word of God serving as our text, our Gospel reading from Mark chapter 11, verses 1 through 10. In Christ our King, dear fellow redeemed. Is that something you really need or something you just want? Through the years, my dad must have asked me that question a million times. Always when I was sure that I wanted some toy or game that was all the rage. Of course, as I got older, the things I wanted became more expensive. Clothing, gadgets, eventually a car. Now, all these years later, I'm the one asking the question of myself, is this something I need or only want? Truth be told, I find that question as hard to answer now as I did when I was a child. My problem, maybe yours too, is that it doesn't take much for a want to become a need. I can talk myself into needing just about anything once I decide I want it. I mention this today because now it's our Savior Jesus who causes us to struggle with this subject of wants versus needs. We'll consider his words and his actions under the theme, Jesus is the King we need. Right? Not want, need. Well, let's talk about it. It had been months now since Jesus had begun to talk to his disciples about the fact that he was headed to Jerusalem to suffer many things at the hands of wicked people, to be put to death, and on the third day be raised to life. And now that time had come. But not before stopping at the home of some dear friends, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Yes, that Lazarus, the same one that Jesus had so recently raised from the dead. A miracle that had not escaped the attention of Israel's chief priests, who were absolutely furious at Jesus for raising Lazarus. In fact, so much so that they were giving strong thought to not only murdering Jesus, but Lazarus too. Why were they so hateful? Well, because they could see that the people were paying more attention to Jesus and his teaching than they were to the priests. They were losing their grip on the people. And never was that more evident than in these days leading up to the great festival of Passover. See, Jesus wasn't the only one headed to Jerusalem at that moment in time. The city was already overflowing with pilgrims. In fact, by some reports, hundreds of thousands of them had already gathered to celebrate the festival. As you might imagine, with that many people in town, Passover was always an exciting event. But never more so than this year, as rumors about Jesus spread through the city like wildfire. It was said that he was in nearby Bethany, at the house of that man that he had brought back to life, the guy that had been in the grave for 4 days. There was a crowd of people that decided they just had to see Jesus, so they headed off to Bethany. They didn't have to go far, because it turns out Jesus was heading in their direction. And as he and his followers approached the city, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you doing this?' say, 'The Lord needs it and will send it back here shortly.'" Jesus certainly could have walked the 5 miles from Bethany to Jerusalem. But the time had come for him to show himself to be the fulfillment of that Old Testament prophecy from Zechariah that said that the Savior King would ride into the holy city on the back of a donkey. Jesus was doing something else here. as the Son of God, he not only knew how and where two of his disciples would find that donkey, he gives them the very words that they are to speak to those concerned, causing them to surrender the animal without objection. That's no coincidence. This isn't some cheap parlor trick. As Jesus is heading into Jerusalem, he wants his disciples to know that he's in control. He foresees and directs the events of his life and his death. Jesus does that same thing for us, you know. Nothing ever happens to us that throws Jesus for a loop or catches him off guard. He sees it all, and not like some helpless bystander watching a train wreck in slow motion. Jesus guides and steers the course of our lives, always to bless us. You believe that, don't you? Would you want any other kind of king? His first followers understood what was happening here. They happily acknowledged Jesus as their king in a very special way. They went and found a colt outside in the street tied at a doorway. As they untied it, some people standing there asked, "What are you doing untying that colt?" They answered as Jesus had told them to, and the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. They understood the miracle. They understood it was worked by their Savior King. And to honor him, they gave him the cloaks off their backs to serve as a saddle. The people in the crowd did something similar. Many people spread their cloaks on the road while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. You and I might say that all these people gave Jesus the red carpet treatment. What I want you to notice today is that Jesus didn't object. He didn't tell them stop, not even when they shouted, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest." Hosanna is a word that means, "Please save us." Over time, it became a shout of praise directed to God who alone can save. By their cheers, the crowd is making clear that Jesus is no ordinary king. This is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. This is none other than the long-promised Messiah, God's anointed, that is God's man, hand-picked by God to save the world. This is great David's greater son and Lord. This is the one who will rule over God's people forever. As you and I stand at the threshold of Holy Week, we too shout Hosanna to our King. Can you think of a more fitting way to honor him than to cry, "Please save us"? But save us how? And from what? To answer that question, we must first know and confess our greatest need. I think again of that first Palm Sunday crowd, a diverse group of people to be sure. Some there knew and loved Jesus, others hated him. And still many more were learning to know him perhaps for the first time. As a whole, the crowd correctly identified Jesus as Messiah, as the Savior King. But when they shouted their hosannas, when they yelled, "Please save us," what were they hoping for? You and I can't read their hearts, but we know what happened in the days that followed. It makes us wonder if some in the crowd that day were hoping for nothing more than a political Messiah, an earthly king. Maybe they were wishing that the one who had freed people from demonic possession would set their nation free from Roman tyranny. They may have hoped that the one who had fed more than 5,000 people with a boy's lunch would do the same for them from that time on. They may have wanted the miracle worker who had healed the lame, cleansed the lepers, given sight to the blind, to make them well and keep them healthy all their days. Free us, feed us, heal us, Jesus. That's it. As I say, we can't read hearts. But given what happened by the end of the week, you have to know that some in that crowd that day, some who had shouted Hosanna on Sunday, were among those who cried, "Crucify him," on Friday. You have to know that some who thought they wanted Jesus to be their king were begging Pilate to give them an insurrectionist instead. "Give us Barabbas, take Jesus." Why? Maybe hoping that the rebel would do for them what Jesus wouldn't or couldn't do? That's a terrifying thing to witness, isn't it? Jesus is right there. They can reach out and touch the King of salvation, and yet because of their selfish wants and desires, some are ready to walk away from the only one who can satisfy their greatest need. That's terrifying. And even more so when we see that sort of thing happening inside of us. How easily our own wants and desires cause us to pull away from Jesus, even at times when we don't understand it's happening. How quickly we forget that we're just passing through this world. This is not the be-all and end-all of our existence. But because we are forgetful, we convince ourselves that our happiness and contentment and security here are among our greatest needs and therefore should be the chief focus of Christ our King. And if he doesn't see it that way, if Jesus refuses to be the kind of king we want him to be, if he won't give us that worry-free, pain-free, trouble-free existence we want from him, well, we're just going to have to rethink our allegiances here. We're going to have to find our peace and security elsewhere. We're going to have to work a little harder for it, maybe play a little harder too. We'll pin our hopes for prosperity on the government and we'll bank on modern medicine to cure us of all that ails us. Now you understand there's nothing wrong with those things in and of themselves. Hard work, leisure, government, medicine, these are all gifts from our gracious God. They're not the problem. The problem isn't here. The sin is ours. When we cry, "Hosanna, please save us," to anyone or anything other than Jesus. When we decide that what we want out of life is more important than the life God wants for us, we sin against him. And when we do that, my friends, by our words and our actions, when we reject the King God sent to us, then the King has every reason and every right to reject us, to banish us from his sight forever. That is, after all, the fate our sin has earned us. A fate from which nothing in all creation can save us. That's a sobering thought, isn't it? A thought that helps us begin to put things into a different perspective. Not unlike that question that Jesus once asked, "What good is it for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul?" Answer? No good at all. No eternal good at all. And suddenly, the perspective changes. Suddenly, we begin to realize that our greatest needs have nothing to do with how happy or healthy or secure we are right now. Our greatest need has everything to do with where we're going to spend forever. And that, my friends, is a need you and I can do nothing about. But God can. And He has. He has sent us just the king we need, the one who was willing to ride into Jerusalem on the back of a donkey to show us that He would defeat our enemies not with an army or with weapons of mass destruction. He would conquer by humbling Himself to death, the very death that was our punishment. It's amazing. The king traded places with us. He took the blame for our rebellion, for our sinful desires, for our misplaced priorities, for our selfish wants, for all our sin. He took the blame and faced God's wrath in our place. The king suffered our banishment and then 3 days later rose victoriously to proclaim to us the peace He earned for us with God. Now, all that peace, all that security, all that happiness that we want, in Christ, it's ours forever. Where does that leave us here and now? It leaves us in the hands of a king who loved us so that He gave Himself for us. This king is the one who is watching over us constantly. We spend every moment of our lives in His gracious care and keeping. He is invested in us. He promises that absolutely nothing in all creation will be able to separate us from His love. He says that everything that comes our way, He will make good for us. This is the king who invites us to seek His blessing in every aspect of our lives. Ask, He says. And the King who, by the power of His word, gives us the faith to trust that He is blessing us, even when His answer to our prayers is not what we expected or thought we wanted. Made confident by such great love, let this be our prayer to the King, today and every day. Hosanna, please save us from ourselves, from our foolishness and our sin. Reshape our thoughts to be like Yours, dear Jesus. Give us the wisdom to see that You are the King, not only the King that we need, but the King that we want to rule our hearts and minds now and evermore. Amen.
Thank you so much for checking out some of the content from Mount Olive Church. If you liked what you saw today, we would love it if you would subscribe to our YouTube channel or over on Spotify, subscribe to get sermon podcasts weekly. Also, if you checked out our sermon today, go over to mountoliveappleton.com and sign the friendship register so we know that you were blessed by our work today. God's blessings to you.